We have a big subject tonight. Don't talk about the heart, all right? We're going to talk about your heart, my heart, and the heart. And, you know, in the Bible, there's more than 1,000 direct references to the heart. More than 1,000 direct references, and at least that many indirect references. There's only 31,000 verses in the Bible altogether. You know, 1,000 verses, direct reference, that's a big part of the Scripture. God is really... He is really emphasizing and talking about the importance of the heart in a big way. And amen. So here we go. Triune man. You know, we say that we are body, soul, and spirit, right? Okay. Well, I'm going to make it four tonight. All right. There's four. How many? There's four. So there's, I'm going to divide the soul into two parts. There's body, soul, heart, and spirit. Okay. We're dividing the soul into two parts, the soul and the heart. And this is how it works out. The body, that's that creature, the creation, the flesh, the animal. Five senses, right? You know, and that's your body. Well, after that, your soul, that's the outer man, okay? The outer man, the man that you see, the man that you deal with, that's my soul. The heart is the inner man, okay? You got the outer man and the inner man, the soul and the heart. And then the spirit, that's the other man. All right? Because a person who's not saved doesn't have, their spirit is dead. There is no other man. All right? And you get saved, there's another man. There's a new man. There's that man that's born of God, that man who doesn't sin. Amen? And that's your spiritual side. That's the new man, okay? So the outer man, the inner man, the other man, okay? And let's talk about the heart tonight, the inner man, okay? Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, it says this, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep it with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let me pray. Father, thank you for your love to us. Thank you, Lord, for this truth. Please bless it now. Please use it here tonight and in our hearts. We love you and thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. What does it mean to be sincere? What is a sincere person? Sincerity, that's when what's real in your heart matches what you present to other people, right? When what you see and what you hear matches up with what's in my heart, I'm sincere. I'm not misrepresenting. I'm not a facade. I'm not a hypocrite. I'm not a fake, right? I'm sincere. I said what I mean. I meant what I said. Okay, sincere. Sincerity. Jesus, talking in the book of Matthew, he mentioned this people, these Pharisees and these religious people, he said, they draw nigh to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Okay, that's insincerity, all right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sincerity is a big deal with God. God looks on the heart. Man, we look on the outward appearance. That's all we've got. I can't see your heart, okay? But God looks on your heart. All right. 1 Corinthians 5:17, what does it say? It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Talking about that other man, the spirit. Here you go. Your heart is who you really are. Okay? When we're talking about your heart is who you really are. We do keep up some bit of propriety, you know. If you don't really want to see my heart, okay? I'm sorry. I try to be sincere, but you don't really. Do you want me to see your heart? Okay? Do you want me to look down in your heart and say, hey, Brother Joe, we're going to take pictures here and put the video up here, and everybody's going to see exactly what's in your heart, every little thought, word, and deed in your heart? You wouldn't want that, would you?
Probably not.
I wouldn't want it, okay? Well, I mean, I try to be sincere, but you know, your heart is who you really are, what you really are. That's what you really think, okay? Not what you want people to think that you think. Not just what you say, but how you really are, what you really believe, okay? You go to shake somebody's hand and you're like, hey, brother, it's good to see you. And you're thinking, yeah, well, not really, but... No, don't take that personal. But now, seriously, your heart is how you really are, what you really think, what's really going on, all right? That's who you really are, your attitude, your real attitude about stuff, your way you really see things, okay? It's the reality, it is also the seat of your emotions, is how you really feel, okay? Do you love somebody? Do you hate somebody? It's what's real in your heart. It is the seat of your emotions, okay? It's where you get your joy and your sadness, all right? The seat of your emotions, that's what goes on in your heart, okay? Your soul is more your character, your personality, you know, your intellect, maybe your habits, your willpower, okay? That's your soul. You got to separate that out just a little bit. But the outer man, your soul, your body, the inner man, your heart, okay? The other man, the new man born of God, does not sin, communicates with God, our spiritual side. All right. Now, when Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." To keep it means to guard or to preserve it or to hide it. Let's go with this other first. Out of it are the issues of life. God is not saying that, you know, we got issues or the issues in your life, the problems in your life. When the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, it's talking about like a fountain. Your life issues forth out of your heart. Okay? A fountain, we're not talking about a fountain like this. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? Amen to me. She loves that song on the bus, you know, Joy Like a Fountain. Okay, but that's not the fountain we're talking about. We're talking about like, you know, in Berkeley Springs where the water comes up out of the ground. Okay, that's a fountain, all right? The water comes up out of the ground. It's the fountain it's talking about. For out of it are the issues of life. Your life, literally, issues forth out of here. Okay, well, actually, it's more up here. I mean, this is not where you don't think right here. You don't feel right here. We say we do, but it's actually up here. Amen. But your life issues forth out of your heart. It comes forth out of your heart. Now, what does that mean to us? Is this? You got to be careful what you become in here. You got to be careful what you become in here, because that's what's going to come out. You got to be careful what you let yourself think in here and how you let yourself feel in here, because that's what's going to come out. Your life will come forth out of your heart. The verse in Matthew that says, "For within, out of the heart of man proceed," okay, adultery, fornication, wickedness, you know, covetous, and all these things, they come forth out of your heart, all right? How is that? Because what you become in your heart is what is going to come out in your life. I was walking in Chicago on my bus route, and I for years I went past this one tree, and a big beautiful tree had all kinds of green leaves and pretty branches. It was right on the side of the sidewalk, and then this one week I went by it and was falling over. Okay, it wasn't even a bad storm, but it was over. It had broken off right at the trunk. The tree broke right there, and I'm going, what in the world? I went and I looked, and the inside was all rotted out. It was all rotten, you know. That appearance on the outside was great. It was fantastic. It was pretty and nice and strong on the outside, but the fact is, there was nothing there. It had rotted out from the inside. Okay, what it became in his heart came out in his life. Amen. And with us, it's going to be the same thing. You've got to be careful what you let yourself think. You got to be careful what you let yourself. What you become in your heart, because that's what's going to come out, all right? Here's an interesting point. The direction of your heart is the direction of your life. Listen, the world says, follow your heart. You ever heard that before? Oh, Mulan says, follow your heart. Okay, well, hey, what does the Bible say about that? The Bible says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Okay? We're talking about the big issue here tonight. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. All right? Well, if you trust in your own heart, if you follow your heart, if you say, well, I just feel like that's the thing to do, God says you're being a fool, okay? When I do that, God says I'm being a fool. When I do things because, well, I just feel like it's the right thing to do. Now I'm not talking about that gut feeling kind of stuff, because a gut feeling simply means I know it's right. I just don't have the words can't put it into words. I know it's right. I can't put it into words. That's a gut feeling. That's different, you know. But doing something because I feel like it, I want to, you know. That's what we're talking about. You don't follow your heart. No, I'm sorry. Don't follow your heart. You need to learn to lead your heart. You need to learn to guide your heart. You need to learn to manage your heart, not follow it. Okay. Amen, amen. When I talked to the preacher about this verse, he said, "Yeah, keep thy heart." He said, "That's like a prison guard keeping something." You know. He said, I said, "Oh, it's like a teenager, or when you got a 17-year-old, you know, and you put them in a box with a hole in it, right?" So. It's literally what it's talking about. Keep thy heart. Okay, well, anyway. Okay, hey, the direction of your heart, the direction of your life. What does the Bible say? The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Okay? God's directing the king by turning his heart. Your life, the direction of your life is going to turn with your heart. All right? Okay? It literally is. And when you don't keep your heart, when you're not careful about guarding your heart, the direction of your life can change, and you're not even aware of it, okay? It happens, and you don't even realize it. You're focused, okay? And I'm focused out there, and I'm focused out there, and I'm focused out there, and I don't even realize I've changed direction because my heart has changed. Literally, the direction of your life comes forth out of your heart, all right? Hey, this is what happens to young people, okay? Not that we have any young people in here today. But this is what happens. You've seen it, and I've seen it. You love this teenager, and they're doing so good, and they go going through school, and they're doing it, living everything right, and you got such hope for them, and they graduate from high school, and boom. What happened? Well, their heart, the direction of their heart, was not in line with the what they showed with their life, what they were living with, what they were living on the outside. Okay, their heart was headed a different direction. They got off track when they were younger. They got tantalized, enticed, whatever, tempted with the world. They got enhanced, enthralled with what was going on in the world, and they gave their heart to thinking about what it would be like to have maybe money, or what it'd be like to maybe go take part in this worldly amusement or that one. And they've never been allowed to do it. And they're thinking, well, when I graduate, you know, I'm going to find out what it's like. Okay. And their heart got turned. All right. Their heart got turned away from God. And then you say, I just can't believe it. I mean, they were doing so good. And then they graduated. Well, here it is. Okay. Their life came forth out of their heart. Their heart got off direction. And this is an admonition for parents. All right. This is an admonition for parents to be very careful to deal with your kids according to their heart, not just according to regimented, scheduled, disciplined, you know, discipline. This is the way we're going to do this. You're going to do this. You're going to like it. You know, that's it. You know, hey, get hold of their heart. You need to get their heart. You need to learn to reach their heart, because if you don't, when they graduate, that's what's going to happen. Yes. I lie not. Okay. I was sitting with a teenager some months ago, and he said, I can't wait till I turn 18 and graduate. I am out of here. And he did not mean anything good by that either. He was just biding his time. I mean, the kind of guy who had a haircut, and the kind of guy who dressed right on Sunday, and the kind of guy who, you know, did everything he was supposed to do, but he was just biding his time for that graduation day. He was going to go do what he wanted to do, which, he was going to go follow his heart, in other words. But you got to deal with a young person's heart. You can't just regiment their life and say this is what it's been, and you feel like, well, I've trained them, right? I showed them what to do. I made them do it. I've trained them. That's not training them. That's disciplining them, but it's not training them. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. You need to deal with his heart, okay? Because if you don't, his life is going to come forth out of his heart. And when he's out of the way, it's going to be too late at that point. It's the same way that long-term Christians fade away. You you see somebody, they're just steady and they're always there, but you can't see their heart changing, okay, until all of a sudden one day they're gone. Well, their heart was changing the whole time, and they probably didn't realize it, and you definitely didn't realize it, okay? That's what happens. All right, well, what about me? I've got to be careful of my heart. I got to be careful my heart doesn't change, because it'll do it, and when you're not paying attention, it'll do it, and all of a sudden you wake up and you're like, wow, I don't really, my heart's not really in that anymore. You ever heard that before? My heart's just not in that anymore. Okay, well, hey, that's your fault. You needed to keep your heart. The Bible says keep thy heart with all diligence. Your heart needs to be in that, and you needed to keep your heart there. All right, well, listen, this is how long-term Christians, they fade away and suddenly they're gone. This is how seeming sudden tragedies, you know, spring up. And it wasn't a sudden tragedy. It was something that was brewing for a long time. It was a Bob Jones Sr. that said, behind every tragedy of human character is a long process of wicked thinking, okay? That person's heart was getting off, and they didn't correct it. They didn't get it right, okay? And it showed up one day. Their life came forth out of their heart, and you know, it's a tragedy. I went through that again and again in my life. I mean, some of you have too. But I saw my home pastor. He did that, and one of the greatest young preachers. I was my hero, and he did that. And then my division leader in college, and he did that. And it just went on and on. But hey. When God says, keep thy heart with all diligence, he's talking about that's more important to keep than your bank account. You know, it really is. That's more important to keep than just about anything else in life. You've got to be careful of the direction of your heart and what affects your heart and what you let into your heart. And if you don't, you're going to end up sorry. All right. When God says, keep your heart, the word keep there, it's like a besieged city, okay? You get a city that's under siege. What's going on there? Nobody can go out of that. Nobody can go out of that city. There's soldiers all the way around that city. And those soldiers are keeping that city. All right, and then God says, keep your heart. He's talking about besiege that thing. He's saying, don't let it get away. Don't let anything happen to it. All right, it literally that's what it means to guard your heart. Okay, like a prison guard or like a guard on the wall. You've got the guard. You be careful that nothing comes in that's not supposed to be there. All right? Any rate, this is why churches will change their directions after a while, because the pastor didn't keep his heart. Our preacher, I'm not scared about this. I've watched him over the last 30 years, and his heart hasn't changed. He hasn't changed direction. He is what he was, and I'm excited about that. I'm encouraged about that, and I want to be the same. I want to be careful that I don't get cockeyed. Okay, but he hasn't changed, and that is what happens. People, it happens slowly. It happens in their heart, and all of a sudden, little things change. And here, what happened? It happened in their heart before it came out in their life. Out of it are the issues of life. Okay, all right. This is kind of like preserving a tradition. If you want to keep a tradition going in life, you have to fight for it. Keep your heart. It's kind of like keeping a car on the road. You got to keep it on the road. You got to keep correcting, keep bringing it back. You know, be careful. You can't just let her go. Right. You got to watch it. You got to keep your heart. All right. The world says follow your heart, but God says you're a fool if you follow your heart. You don't follow it. You lead it. You correct it. You preserve it. You prepare it. You're careful about your heart. Okay? Did you know your heart is easily influenced? You got to keep an eye on it all the time. Hey, Satan can fill your heart. Oh, but Brother Stolz, I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Yeah. But Satan doesn't have to enter you to fill your heart. He's got tools. He's got a TV. Amen? He's got a TV, and every home's got a TV, and he knows what to do with that. Okay? He can fill your heart if you're not careful. All right? He's got music like you wouldn't believe. Music that appeals to your flesh. Doesn't appeal to your spirit, but appeals to your flesh. God, Satan's got music. Oh, I'm not going to say that. But He's got music, okay? And he will bring it to you, and he will influence you. And you say, oh, but I enjoy it, but I like it. Are you following your heart? Huh? Are you doing what you want to do, or are you doing what God said you're supposed to do? Okay, are you doing what you want to do, or are you doing what's right? Oh, but Brother Stoltz, it's exciting. I like it. Yeah, well, it's exciting. It speaks to your body, makes you want to move. Yeah, okay. Well, it's also destroying your heart, all right? So pay attention, keep thy heart, and be careful about the music that you let into your life, okay? The worldly philosophies, they're everywhere. The public school teaches them, the public colleges teach them, but they also come across on that TV and from a lot of people that you hang around with, the worldly philosophies. You got to be careful. They'll invade your heart. They'll invade your life. You got to be careful. Don't let worldly philosophies hang around. Just ditch them, okay? If they don't line up with Scripture, then get rid of them, all right? Worldly friends will turn your heart. Hey, you ever heard of King Solomon? Wisest man, greatest king, and God said to him, be careful. Them wives of yours are going to turn your heart, Solomon. What happened? His wives turned his heart. I mean, turned his heart away from God. I mean, turned his heart, the heart of the man of God, the wisest man in the world, the greatest king. They turned his heart to serve false gods, Baal and Asheroth and all those things. How did that happen? Okay, well, it's that power of influence, and he was not careful to keep his heart. Okay, he gave in little by little, by little by little, and all it takes is just a little bit at a time. That's how Satan likes to do it, right? Well, his wives turned his heart. Okay, who was it? You ever heard of Absalom? Absalom, yeah. Do you know what Absalom did? Absalom literally stole the hearts of the children of Israel. He stole their hearts. What the point of this is that you got to be careful the people that you hang around with because they will turn your heart, all right? Solomon's wives, they did that to him. Absalom stole the hearts of the children of Israel, okay? There were these people that were coming to the king and they needed... They needed some judgment of some kind, and Absalom talked to him and said, oh, the king, he really hasn't sent anybody aside to hear you. He said, oh, but if I were king, I would, you know, take care of you, you know, and oh, I love you, and I care about you, and blah, blah, blah. He stole their heart, and until one day, he had influenced enough people to where he had his insurrection, his rebellion, okay? But when the news came to David, all they said was, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. Okay, well, people will steal your heart if you're not careful. And I'm not talking about a cute little kid, okay? Oh, he just steals my heart. No, I'm talking about literally turning your heart away from what you know is right. Okay? So, Here is a story of Amnon and Tamar. Amnon and Tamar. People will influence your heart. Amnon was, he was a decent kid, but he had a problem with lust and bad thoughts or whatever. But he wasn't going to do anything wrong. He just, you know, had that problem with lust and so on. But the Bible says, but he had a friend. Yeah, well, Amnon had this friend named Jonadab, and Amnon, he wasn't going to do anything until Jonadab talked to him, and he said, oh, well, you should do that, okay? Well, Amnon, his heart got set on it then, and he went through and destroyed lives and ended up losing his life over the whole thing because his heart was influenced by a friend, and that'll happen. You got to be careful who you hang around with, okay? Got to be careful. Absalom stole her heart. Solomon's wife stole her heart. Jonadab stole the heart of He changed the heart of Amnon. All right. Just one thought or one person can change your heart. Somebody comes into your life and you're not... somebody new comes into your life. It's always a dangerous thing because you don't know how they're going to influence you. All right, you got to be careful. Somebody comes in, you keep your guard up. What's the Bible say? Keep thy heart. You don't just invest your heart in everybody who comes into your life. I'm sorry. You keep your guard up until you figure out if they're going to be the right influence or not. You know, I mean, you can treat them right, but don't let your guard down till you know what's going on, because then one person can change your heart, can get you off track. Okay. Something else that can get you off track is a broken heart. A broken heart. Broken hearts have sent more people packing than just about anything else. What happened? There's a person, a lady who's going along, and she loves God and she loves her husband and everything's going right. And then one day her husband messes up and just leaves her. Okay, and she's destroyed. She's broken hearted and she can't handle it. She gives up. All right. She gives up and goes away from God and goes off into the world and finds her consolation somewhere else. She wouldn't have done that except for that broken heart. Okay, a broken heart can discourage you and send you packing. You have to decide ahead of time that you love God and you love God more than anybody else, and God doesn't change. And if somebody else fails, if somebody else goes down, if somebody else quits, if somebody else, you know, disappoints you, that you're not going to go down, because your faith is not in that person. Your faith is in God. You love the person, but hey, God didn't change, and God's still there, and you can still serve God, because He didn't go anywhere. He's the same as He was.
That's good.
All right, you got to be careful about what you do with your heart. Keep that heart. It's the admonition of the Scripture, with all diligence. All right, keep your heart. A broken heart can mess you over. All right, and redirect your entire life. All right, discouragement, frustration, failure. It literally one major failure in your life, and it can change your whole life if you haven't decided ahead of time that your heart is set on God and His will and His work, and there's nothing else going to turn you away from it. As for instance, I was a young man in Liberty Baptist Church in Portland, Oregon. I had been saved. I don't know if it was a whole year yet or not, but I was like 20 years old, and I hadn't been saved a long time. But we went off to youth conference, and we came back, and the deacon said, "We're going to start a bus route." All right, so I said, "Great, what's a bus route?" You know, he said, "I'm going to drive the bus, and you're going to be the bus captain." I said, "Okay, what's that?" You know, well, oh my, well, okay, so here come the big day. We're going to have a big day. Yeah, all these new people, great, that's exciting. Until there's all kinds of problems and fights and families that are mad at you and people threaten to sue you and, you know, kids that are just absolutely out of control and everybody's, you know, frowning at you because he brought these kids to church. And, oh, that was my first big day, by the way. All right, well, that's frustration. That's failure. That hurt, okay? And I was done with it. From there, I was never having anything else to do with a bus route as of right then. That was on Sunday afternoon. Sunday night, I came to church, and that deacon, He looked at me and he said, he had tears in his eyes. He says, "I see it in your eyes." He says, "You can't quit. You can't do that." And his heart influenced my heart. And when he came to me and said that with tears in his eyes, I'm like, wow, no, I can't quit. Not after that, you know.
Right. Amen.
Okay, but that discouragement, that failure was going to turn me away.
Right.
Now, I have a little note here. Your heart is your best leadership tool. Now, that's actually a good thing to remember. Your heart is one of your best leadership tools, because people are going to follow your heart. People are going to follow your heart. I mean, we are motivated, influenced, and led by our preacher's heart. Okay, his passion for soul winning, his passion for the Word of God. Okay, his passion for old time Christianity. Okay, that influences us. That inspires me. Okay, that moves me. And I'm more than encouraged because of his heart. Your heart is your leadership tool. How are you supposed to lead somebody? I've heard this said, leadership is you lead by love and example. Okay, love and example. In other words, you love somebody, and your heart influences their heart, and they open up to you, and they are willing to follow your example. Okay, love and example. Your heart is going to be one of your best leadership tools. When you're dealing with your teenager, again, if you're gonna lead your teenager, You've got to give them your heart. You've got to show them your heart. Show them you love them. Get their heart involved, okay? Because otherwise, you know, again, they're going to smile and wave until they can get on their own, and then that's it. Keep your heart. Keep your heart. There's many other things that want to take your heart away. Enticements, temptation, sin hardens your heart. Sin dulls your heart. Sin, what does the Bible say? Wine and whoredoms take away the heart. Okay, they literally take away your heart. They chip at it. They cut it down. They dull your passion for God. You know, oh, this sin or that sin. Well, this might be setting sin. I'm a hard time giving it up. Well, you know what? Keep coming back. Keep confessing it. Keep getting it right. And don't give in to it, because that simple sin, you let it in your life. It's dulling your heart. It's chipping away at you. And it's going to end up taking you down someday if you let it. Okay? Sin will do that to you. All right. So other things that will take down your heart, the influences, the bad, we talked about them, but you allow yourself to get selfish and proud. You allow pride in your heart and selfishness, self-centeredness. Okay, it will try to be there. It will try to influence you. It will try to take over your heart, and that's natural. You have to fight that. You have to do something about that, or if you don't do anything about it, it will naturally take over your heart. Okay, you should have times and habits and rituals and such that cause you to humble yourself. You ought to learn to fast on a regular basis. Okay, that will humble you. You ought to learn to listen to preaching on a regular basis. That will humble you. Yeah. You ought to learn to have gratitude. Learn to say thank you for everything. That will humble you. Okay. Any rate, you need to be careful, because pride will come and take over your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let me give you a couple of things about how to keep your heart. All right. The preacher mentioned we need to learn to live by principle. Need to learn to live by principle, because your heart is sketchy, flighty, subject to change. Your heart, you know, you follow your heart. It's like this, okay? So in other words, you need to learn to live by principles. Have principles that govern your decisions. Have principles that guide your heart, okay, that keep your heart. Have habits. Habits like the habit of showing up to church on Sunday, the habit of praying, the habit of reading your Bible. Have habits of going to serve other people. Habits, the right kind of habits, will keep your heart. Rituals. Do you ever yield to the Holy Spirit? Do you know if you learned to have rituals that would remind you, and you could yield to the Holy Spirit? That is one way that you keep your heart. Brother Hiles would have a 7 times a day. He did it by schedule. He had more character than I did. he did it by schedule. Every 3 hours, he would yield to the Holy Spirit, and that was his schedule. But I have tied it to certain things that happen in my life, and they happen every day. And every time it happens, I'm reminded to yield to the Holy Spirit. That's how I do it, because I don't have the character to do it by schedule, but I still do it by ritual. Okay. Every time you sit down in the car, or every time you pick up a phone, or every time you go to the restaurant, whatever. Amen, you there are things that happen in your life every day, and if you tie that to yielding to the Holy Spirit, it will remind you. And that is one way that you keep your heart. And the Bible says, with all diligence, keep the heart with all diligence. Be careful about it. It's a big thing. Keep your heart. Okay, here's one. Ask God to keep your heart. Do you ever pray about it? Well, the Bible says in Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. All right? He will give you the right desires if you'll delight in him. Here's another one, Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Remember, we said your heart determines the direction of your life. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. it's a big deal. As I was studying it, as I was reading it, as I was learning it, I said I sure hope that somebody picks up on this, because this is where it's at in the Christian life. It's all about your heart, and you've got to be careful, because Satan's after it. Satan's after your heart, and you don't have to. You don't have to give in. You don't have to go down. You can keep your heart. This is Psalm 27:14 says this. It says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart." Wait, I say, on the Lord. Okay? Wait on the Lord to keep your heart. Okay? Jeremiah 15:16 says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." He's saying about talking about meditation, okay? Talking about thinking about the Bible, talking about thinking about the right things. "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. I chewed on them." That's what meditation means. It means like a cow chewing its cud. That's the word meditation. You chew it on the Bible, thinking about it, bringing it back up, and meditating on it, okay? That will keep your heart, all right? That will keep your heart. Here you go. Ask God to keep your heart. Ezekiel 36, "A new heart also will I give you." Psalm 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Amen. 1 Kings 3:12, "I have given thee a wise and understanding." God is involved in helping us with our heart if we'll ask him. 1 Samuel 10, "God gave him another heart." That was King Saul when he was right with God. 1 Chronicles 29:18, "Keep this forever in the hearts of thy people." Actually, 1 Chronicles 29, there's a lot more to that verse than that. Let me read it to you. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 18. It says this, "O Lord God of Abraham and Isaac and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee." With God, the heart is a big deal. It has everything to do with the direction of his people. It has everything to do with their life and what's going to come out of their heart. He admonishes us over and over again. Keep your heart. Be careful with your heart, okay? At any rate, here. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
That's right.
Where your treasure is. Well, it's not just talking about your money, okay? If that's what you treasure, if that's the thing that's most important to you, then yes. But maybe your treasure is not your money. Maybe your treasure is your time, okay? Or where's your heart? Well, wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Is your treasure your kids? Then your treasure's then your heart's with your kids. Maybe your treasure is in soul winning. Maybe that's the most important thing to you in life, is soul winning, okay? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That which is important to you, a deposit, your investment, your wealth. I'm going to have to quit hitting that thing. Your treasure is your deposit, your investment, or your wealth, that which is important to you, okay? So, but where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So, when the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, you consider, what is it that's important to you in life? You know where your heart's at. All right, here's one, to always do your best. This is a very sly thing that happens to people, and they don't even realize it's happening. This is true with so many things where a person loses their heart for God. It's just an inch by inch kind of a movement. Well, when you don't do your best, it's you choose second best. That's what happens when you don't do your best. You choose to do second best. Oh, okay. Well, what happens then? Well, that becomes your best, and then you choose second best, and that becomes your best, and then you choose second best. You see how that is how it works. When you cease to give your best and give your all and give 100%, you're allowing just a slight change, okay? Just a slight change. It just changes a little bit. Just changes a little bit, okay? And that's how it works. Well, no, you need to get back to giving 100%. But get back to, what does the Bible say? Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, okay?
Amen.
You're supposed to give your best, your 100%, whatever you do for God, okay? Your Sunday school class, your bus route, your hospitality ministry, your music, whatever you do, anything that you're involved in, you give it 100%, okay? And learn to get involved in your church. You know, what did Paul say, the Apostle Paul? He says, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing onto those things that are before. He said, this one thing I do, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Listen, what he was saying was, I am eaten up with this goal. I've given myself to this prize. I'm going that direction. I'm going 100%. He's giving it all. Hey, somebody's standing off to the side saying, hey, Paul, over here, come over here. You think he's going to listen to him? he's 100% head, you know, head over heels heading for his goal. He's got his heart set on that prize. Okay? Well, he's not going to be easily dissuaded. All right. So what are you setting your heart on? Okay. What are you setting your before your eyes as the prize of what you're headed for? What, you know, what is it that motivates you and eats you up and gets you up in the morning and keeps you up at night? What is it that captivates your thoughts? Okay. Is it what you're going to eat next? Oh, I can't wait till I get home. I know exactly what I'm going to eat. Oh. Lasagna. Okay. No, but seriously, Paul was eaten up with the goal. A man of God who was a great example to everyone was Dr. Jack Hiles. And he would say, and you knew it was true, he didn't even have to say it, but he was eaten up with the goal, a cause. It captivated him. It took him over. He was given to it. Okay, is there anything in your life that you are given to? Okay, that's the direction of your heart. But if you'll choose to give yourself to something that's worthwhile for God, you won't have to worry about losing your heart. You don't have time to turn aside. You're not paying attention to that which is trying to get your, you know, attention. If you are given to and passionate about something for God, okay. A work for God, like the Apostle Paul, forgetting those things which are behind, looking forth unto those things which are before, I press. He said, I strive, I fight for it. He said, I want it. And you're not going to get his attention real easily, you know, off to the side. Okay. That keep thy heart with all diligence. Hey, meditation. What does Psalm 39:3 say? It says, as I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. Okay? Let me read the whole thing for you. I'm leaving something out there. Psalm 39:3. But it's talking about somebody who's meditating, thinking about something, dwelling on it, letting it eat at him. Okay? And he's talking about serving God with his life. Psalm 39:3 says, my heart was hot within me. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burnt. Okay, he was meditating on something. He was chewing on it. He was thinking about it. What do you think about in your spare time? What do you think about in your spare time? What is it that captivates your thoughts when you have a spare moment? Remember Paul Benton. It didn't matter what time of the day when you stopped to talk to him. Within 3 minutes or less, the conversation would turn to his bus route. That's what he was eating up with, you know? It was the passion of his life. Well, what is it that your conversation turns to when... given just a little bit of leeway, okay? Meditation, what it is that you think about that you want. Maybe you say there's nothing. I don't think about anything, you know? I just kind of leave my mind blank, all right? Well, your heart is not going to be very hot then. Your passion is going to be very low. If you will meditate on something, here's, for instance, the Word of God in particular. You get a 3x5 and you put a verse on it and you meditate on it, you chew on it and you think about it. It'll cause your heart to burn. It'll cause your heart to burn. I don't mean heartburn. I mean, you know what I'm saying. It'll make you excited. It'll get hold of you. All right. As I was musing, the fire burned. The last one here we're going to say is something that we all, including me, need to learn to do more of. You want to keep your heart? You got to come to the altar and humble yourself and kneel before God and say, God, I claim you. I'm a sinner. I'm needy. I am weak. I am human. I am frail. I am not perfect. I am not proud. I love you. I need you. I want you to help me with this truth. I want you to make it real in my life. I want you to make it part of my life. I want you to help me with this. Something like that. But if you come and use the altar... when our preacher preaches, he preaches again and again and again and gives you an opportunity to come use the altar. This is one way that you will keep your heart by using the altar. Okay, it's something that you need to learn to do. You say, well, there's no altar here. Well, turn around and use your chair, but learn to use the altar and the invitation. Learn to respond to the truth that was preached. Okay, learn to respond to it, because in that manner you're going to keep your heart. It's a big deal. Keep thy heart with all diligence. It has everything to do with your direction in life. It has everything to do with if you're going to still be serving God, you know, next year at this time or 5 years from now. Keep thy heart with all diligence. I don't know about you, but I want to serve God. I want to run all the way to the finish line. I want to be faithful to my God until I die. And I'm heeding his admonition. I want to keep my heart. And then these are some ways to do it, some things to pay attention to, some things to think about to help us to do that. So we're going to pray. Father, what an important verse. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And the Holy Spirit, I pray that you would use this thought, this truth, this verse in our lives. Help us to not forget it. Bring it up again and again, Lord. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, piano's going to play.